I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise God. It's good to be with each of you. Let me get my sidekick on here. Are you there, Father?
I'm here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, just booted everything up. Just saying hello to the people. We want to praise and thank God for this beautiful apostolate, and we want to praise and thank God that he gives us this opportunity to speak to the hearts of God's people, and that's all of our hearts. We want to praise and thank God that he is our Father, he is our Creator, and we ask in a special way today that each of you will be blessed through this broadcast. And we tell you, we once again want you to know, without you it doesn't happen, and we are so grateful. Both Father and I are so grateful to come together. I love the names that you call us endearingly, and I could give you three or four that all of you use different times. And it is a blessing for us when we do have the opportunity to work together or to share radio time together. So with that, let me bring Father on. Do you want to say a few things before we open the scriptures and do what we do by unpacking?
Listen, I want to not only affirm you in those words and support you in those words, but I also want to extend an invitation to all of our listeners, because they really are the prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. They really are the cream of the crop. And the world right now, again, is in crisis. The peace is in crisis, as I always say, the heart.
Yep.
When peace is in crisis, the heart is in crisis. And just once again, as an invitation to our prayer warriors to pray for that gift of peace. You know, Our Lady in Medjugorje has often said, the one who prays has nothing to fear. And in the world right now, with all this tension and the uncertainty, when we're saturated and in our prayer life, when we trust Father, in the Our Father that we pray today, when we trust our Father, when we go to our Heavenly Mother, we do have a real sense of security within them, and that's the beauty, and that the invitation that always comes. But at the same time, as they offer us saying, the one who prays doesn't fear, they also come from heaven crying out, saying, we need as much prayer as can be.
Amen.
So I just want to trust, I know our listeners are tremendous in their prayer life, and just to continue that prayer for the world, for the church, at this very fragile time.
Amen. All right.
Okay.
Shall we open the scripture?
Sure. I am here today. Today's the, it's the Thursday daily readings, Matthew chapter 7 through 15. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let's go on a little journey. Yep, and unpack this beautiful gospel.
The Sermon on the Mount is most definitely something that's misunderstood. Sorry, I just placed this gospel, and I think I mentioned about last week's gospel as well. Sermon on the Mount is not always just the Beatitudes, but it's actually chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's important because these three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, is the cornerstone of Christian ethics and teachings. It encapsulates the basic principles, the spiritual, the moral principles that's given to us in the kingdom of heaven. So, for example, I'm just giving a little bit of a background. The Beatitudes is one. And then the last 2 weeks, we were hearing Jesus kind of in his teachings for, calling out, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. Then he was giving those phrases. You heard it said, but amen I say to you. Yesterday was like when you fast and when you pray, not if you fast, if you pray. And all of them are teachings that Jesus was doing not only in the teaching mode, but he was also correcting a lot of Rome's misinterpretations, personal spins and agendas that were kind of woven together over the centuries. And this was really his way of kind of gearing it into another level. So the Sermon on the Mount brings us then into Jesus is slowly revealing the Trinity. Most of what Jesus did, Captain, in his
pardon me. Go ahead.
No, you're okay. You're okay.
Yeah.
Most, if you really spend time with the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus, not just here in chapter 5, 6, and 7, but Jesus always talked about his Father. And that was a huge deal because the Jewish people never called God Father. It was just something that you didn't do because he was Yahweh.
Yep.
And he was separate. He was the God of gods, the Holy of Holies. But Jesus, truly as Son of God, is kind of just redirecting everything in a more personal level. And this is where these teachings throughout all of the Sermon on the Mount become more and more personalized. And I think it shocked people as time went on. So what we have today is, in chapter 6, yesterday he was talking about when you fast, when you pray, lock yourself into your room, not so much into a private room, but, the interior castle of your heart. Now he's saying, how to pray. Now he just kind of just peels everything back. The Catechism, you know, it says that the Lord's Prayer is the summary of the whole gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it they say it completes the expression of our entire faith. And then, you know, if you think about it, like it's prayed right just before the reception of Holy Communion, right after the consecration. So in some senses, then, all of our prayers, all of our petitions, all of that is totally connected in that I guess, that complete expression of faith. You know? Really fascinating.
Mm.
So I go back to this thing because in saying this, in the summary, Jesus says, I'm going to teach you how to pray. I want you to peel back everything you have. Take all these teachings I've been giving you the last couple of days. Go back to what I was asking you to do, the authenticity of your heart. What's really in your heart? And when you speak to your Father today, your prayer is to your Father. Because I want to let you all know that you are a child of God. The central message of his teaching, he always called God Father. But then when he says our Father, it's kind of like it puts us all into, I guess, the sense of being in a family.
Hmm.
Now, I can only imagine how people were reacting, never mind the Pharisees, how they were reacting. And he doesn't even call Father in terms of my Father. Jesus always called, when in his prayer and when he expressed God, he was so in love with his Father. He was so intimate with him. It was always Abba, the daddy.
Yeah.
And then he just says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call upon your daddy and tell him that he deserves the utmost respect. So always give his name praise and worship and honor for everything. Everything you have, everything you are. Praise and worship him because your daddy is the best. So just by putting it into another understanding there. And then he will help you anywhere in all of your needs because he already knows who you are. So you're telling him, holy is your name, let your will be done in my life as you see it in heaven and on earth. And none of the petitions that are there have anything to do with what we want. But those six or seven petitions that are part of that prayer is everything the Lord shows us that we need for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to give us this day our daily bread, Jesus spends the other half of prayer really digging in that whole message on forgiveness. To be forgiven, to receive forgiveness, to forgive yourself, to reconcile. Everything that we've been hearing from the beginning is his central message to in general. And then he continues, but your Father will forgive you, but only if you're open to it. But if you don't want to forgive others, he can't. He can't force it on you. So he emphasizes that your prayer should always be about being humble before God, being honest before God, begging him not to be afraid to beg your Father for all these things every day, every moment of the day, and he'll give it to you. And it kind of unfolds because, I mean, you can really go into the Our Father 1,001 different ways, but this is really the essence of it. In the teaching throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he's really emphasizing now, I want my people that God has entrusted me to speak to their dad on the most personal, on the most simple, most humble, and intimate level that they can. Yes, the Holy of Holies, but as a child, a daughter, a son of God, he's your Father. Not only knows before you ask, he made you, and he longs for you to be well. He longs for you to be happy. He longs for you to be whole. And it's very beautiful and very intimate. And in so many ways, it was a radical shift for everybody that was there at the time to see, to experience what Jesus was proclaiming. And that's where the Our Father then becomes for us a whole other level of how we pray. Because the fact is, we can be really complacent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we say the Our Father every day, kind of the words just kind of rattle out. Do we ever take time to actually spend time with those words, to see why we pray it, experience or maybe encounter how God is working through us through those words? That's really a major challenge for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of in its essence, I just put before you and before our listeners as the beginning of what we can, how this prayer opens up for us.
Yeah, I'm always, even when I was a little girl, I loved the Our Father. And, you know, a lot of theologians call this the perfect prayer. I mean, because it was the only prayer we know of that Jesus himself gave to his apostle. It's his prayer to his Father and our Father. And I think it's so powerful, so intimate is a good word, as you said so beautifully a few moments ago. Our Father, that makes it intimate. He didn't teach us to pray to your Father, you know. Lord, we're praying, Lord Jesus, to your Father we want to come. He says, our Father. My Father is your Father. And that's when we understand that, we can grasp how loving. He's our Father. And sometimes, sad to say, and in many, many cases, our Father, what we feel for Father God, sadly, is often because of our own images of some of our fathers who perhaps were not always loving, didn't have that intimate relationship with his children, and it was hard to trust in many cases our own fathers on earth. Some fathers are wonderful, but God, our Father, he's our creator. He formed us, he fashioned us, he breathed his breath, that ruah, into us so that we could have life. And so this Father wants to teach us about what a father's love. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I hear so much feedback.
But whatever is happening, I'm echoing now.
Oh, okay. But I was just saying that but God, our Father, he wants to teach us to come to him with absolute confidence. And that's what this prayer is. This is why Jesus handed down to us, that we can pray as he prayed, our Father who art in heaven. Yes, that his name is holy and so forth, but that we can approach him with confidence because we begin to see what Father really means. You know, many times earthly fathers, even good fathers sometimes, you know, make mistakes, and sometimes in being harsh, but God tells us that he, as our Father, he already knows what we need before we even ask for it, and he says he will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need. He gives us oftentimes the same, that kind of prayer of God's mercy. He gives us what we really need, His love, His mercy, above all the things that we would normally in our humanity ask Him for. But He is building. He made the first effort to draw us close. Today's the second day of the Sacred Heart Novena. And you know what? You only have to repeat yesterday's and then say it today. You'll be caught up. This is the month of June. What a beautiful time to come together and do that Novena to the Sacred Heart. And offer to our Father God who gave us our Redeemer. So I think we really need to grow in that understanding of who our God is. And we can't associate Him with the earthly fathers of the world. Some are wonderful. You know, you can look, I can see good, there was wonderful things my father did. You can look at, you know, certainly your father too, and say the same thing. But many, many fathers have a father wound themselves. And out of that father wound, out of that hurting heart, they look to God as they would look to their own father. And I think that's why so often this is called the perfect prayer, because our Father alone, who created us, can recreate us to be who He really calls us to be, not to suffer the wounds of our lives, maybe growing up, not to look at God our Father as our earthly Father, but the perfect Father, the one who wants to love us into wholeness. And He indeed, I know this for a fact, He indeed will heal our hearts, comfort our souls. He'll love us into wholeness where we're broken. He'll always show us mercy. Are we responsible for our actions? Absolutely. But in all of our weaknesses, He sees, He knows, and He understands, and He will give us the grace we need to be the people He really calls us to be. And I think that's the beauty of God the Father, the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be His name. When we realize how holy even His name is, you know, the name we call Him by, Father, Abba, God, Yahweh. But the bottom line is, He's different than our concepts in our humanity of Father. And I think that's the beauty of the Our Father, that He will always give us the confidence. He wants His word to guide us, to lead us, to shape us, and to live according to His word. We have to know what His word is. And you know that this prayer is so beautiful because it talks about mercy and forgiveness, and in the end, you know, this is the one gospel I love so much, because the other two don't have this, when He says, unless you forgive others, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. And that's something can open our eyes, ears, and hearts, because all of us want to be forgiven. But our Father will teach us to forgive. He'll teach us to grow into who He created us to be. And it's so much more than we settle for. He's a God of more. He wants to teach us men so that they can be the Father He is, that they can grow into the Father to show their children the truth, the love of God, and for mothers to realize that I'm a Father that's created all of you, and come to Me if you've been wounded or broken or abused or hurt in any way from your earthly fathers. Come to Me. I'll heal your heart, I'll comfort your soul, and I'll teach you my love. I'll tenderly draw you deeper and deeper into my heart, who has always loved you. And in my eyes, you're beautiful. And I think that prayer, when we really, you know, I'm going to share something. Many of you know me, know this because I've given it. I give the Our Father out truly in all these almost 50 years now. I give out the Our Father as a part of healing, part of my own healing ministry. I write a prescription, literally, just like a prescription. I tell them to take it 3 times a day. And I tell them just to read the first part, the second part, and the third part. And that, honestly, I can't tell you how many lives that has changed and impacted, to have the Our Father read every single day, taken 3 times a day. Best medicine is the Word of God for our souls. Go ahead, Father.
That's the first time I've ever heard that one.
I made it up. Oh, you mean from me?
That's the first time I ever heard of your prescription. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I actually have a pad. A doctor gave it to me once. He was a pat? Because I prayed with him. And he gave me a gift. And inside the gift was a prescription pad. And without his name on it, just a prescription pad and my name on it. And that's what I did, 3 doses a day, 3 times a day, take faithfully for X amount of days. Is that beautiful?
Very beautiful. Because when a person takes medicine, they're more conscious that they have to take it, so they... their
better.
Mind is kind of focused in on it.
Yep.
So when you're, as you say, take it faithfully and pray it faithfully on a prescription, and people are in need of that spiritual, that deeper healing, it must draw them into paying more focus to the words, to the meaning of those words,
yep.
And also to, I guess, to its transformation.
Yes.
You know, it's a transformative way. That's really interesting. Publicly, I'm going to ask, could I also do that?
Sure. Sure.
I really have to add that to my repertoire. I think it's wonderful. And I think one of the keys that's happening in that, what you're saying there, is without, you see, the Our Father, as you're saying, is inviting us to have that, a more deeper personal relationship,
yeah.
to embrace like a heartfelt communication with them. And as a result, if you're encountering him in that level, he is going to open up a whole new door to, mm-hmm. to healing, you know?
Absolutely.
And then you can kind of see, I guess in its own way, and I'm going to say transformative way, that he really is, yes, he is God, but you begin to see him more as a father.
Yeah.
And the characteristics that a father has, that he holds, upholds, and then extends and offers. Lots to ponder on that, Kathleen.
Yeah, well, put it in your repertoire.
But, yeah.
Acknowledge me when you do it, please.
Of course. I would never do it without.
Of course not. I love you. We got to take a little break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back. Father, do you want to continue?
Sure. Going back to the prayer, I think one of the things that the Lord offers in the prayer when he says how to pray, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what is prayer?
Yes.
And the basic definition the church gives is a communication with God. However, communication is a two-way street. It's like an ebb and flow. So it's not just talking from our side.
That's right.
But for something I caught as you were sharing in the first half, it's equally listening, and sometimes more listening more than talking, because he already knows what we want.
Right.
But as they say sometimes, I can't get a word in edgewise because we do all the talking. So it has to be a time of ebb and flow, of talking and listening. So when we like when we communicate with one another, you know, I know older people, and I used to see them, and when my folks were around, sometimes they don't speak at all. It could be up to 2 hours they could be in a room together, but there's so much communication going on. It's like unbelievable, because at every level, after 58 years that they were married, they knew each other's needs even before they would ask. They would kind of know when to hold them, know when to fold them, all of those things. And they never had to open their mouth once. And that, to me, was like a reflection of like a microcosm of how God works. So in that way, first and foremost, what is prayer? It's that communication. So when we start praying the Our Father, so many of those petitions that he says, they're simple, but yet within our own hearts, they are totally, totally profound in its own way. Because you begin to see he's calling you to live in gratitude, but yet with trust, you'll have contentment. He emphasizes forgiveness, but and you also mentioned this beautifully in the first half. He also, tells us that we have to be compassionate and merciful, like a rippling effect.
Yes.
Or else he can't do it back, you know. But there's another side that also came to me. And I'd like to go back to that, you know, the relationship we mentioned about Father and how so many people have seen the bad examples of fathers or fragmented or whatever it might be, that it comes down to trust. And when you have a really trusting relationship, there's also that side of crying out, you know, I want. You talked about the God of more. He's more. Just keep asking. He's going to give you more. So how does he give you more? He's waiting to give you more. But he's also also waiting for you to ask more. That's why the Our Father has these seven petitions, asking for things that we need. And sometimes we need to be like some of the characters in Scripture. characters in the Gospels, the persevering ones, the badgering ones, the ones that just don't stop, because real faith in its reality, sometimes you got to cry out and ask for stuff.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? I forget his name offhand. He's the blind guy in one of the Gospels.
Bartimaeus.
He's sitting at the gate of Jerusalem, at the gate of the temple. And Jesus walks by and he's crying out. And everybody tells him, shut up. The big guy's here. You know, the Lord is here. Move aside. They tell him to shut up. Jesus then stops, kind of intercepts and says, you know, what's happening? And while they're saying the Lord is passing, be quiet. And he cried out for a petition. He wanted to see.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't just the physical seeing. I mean, when we encounter the gospel, we know it's from the heart and from within. When Jesus healed his sight, he said, your faith has made you well. And, you know, his healing was that prayer, because his invocation was kind of being shouted out stronger and stronger and stronger. So in some senses, prayer not only kind of precedes kind of your salvation, but in some ways it's containing it.
Right.
Because through that perseverance in that prayer, you're freed. And I know I'll just keep going back to that prescription. I think that's where it comes from. You just keep saying those prayers, or just keep asking, and just keep trusting that God will answer your prayers. Trust that your Father knows what you're talking about. Trust that your Father hears your cries. Trust that the Father will come to your rescue, will come to your aid, will give you more, more, more. But be persistent. Be like these characters in the Gospel, with complete trust, complete confidence that God is going to do this for you, that your Father is going to do this for you.
Yeah. You know, I think oftentimes many people today don't read the Gospel, or don't, not even the Gospel, just don't put a lot of time into Scripture reading, especially people who, you know, people who have, how shall I say this, no better than anyone else, but certainly have walked a long time in the Scripture, in that encounter daily with the Lord, all weaknesses, all sinfulness, but yet have continued to walk for a long time. It's easy to forget, oh, you know what, I was going to read the Scriptures, I didn't get to it. Oh, you know what, I think before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to read a chapter before. That's why I put that in a prescription. You take a prescription because you want to get well. And when I first wrote this in a book, we want to get well. Well, you have to not only speak to God and ask Him, but you have to listen to Him. That's His word. And we have to realize that our Father is God's word, and so it's Him speaking back to us. One of the most profound ways we can hear the word of God truly is by reading the Scriptures. His words will speak to our heart. His word's living, it's effective. He tells us it's living, it's effective. So His word is living, it's effective, it's going to touch our hearts. And that's why I told this doctor, read it 3 times a day. Take it according to the prescription, 3 times a day, and be faithful, because, like all prescriptions, God's word is medicine for our heart and for our soul. That's the best medicine, I told him, the very best, and it's so important. It when we realize, hey, you always say, I don't hear God. Well, read the Our Father three times. You'll hear him. They're his words. He's telling you. He's talking to you. And, you know, what do we do? He is a God who wants to give us more and more and more. But he wants more of us. And that takes a little self-discipline. He wants more of us. The more we're open to the power of grace, the more grace we will receive. And it's the bottom line. Okay, Father.
That's the jealous God that we always hear about.
Right.
You know, if he's calling us to have more and more of himself, it's because he wants to make us like the book of Genesis, in his image and his likeness.
Absolutely.
And that's also connecting to what you said just a few minutes ago in reminding our listeners day number two of the Sacred Heart Novena.
Yeah.
That one petition that is constantly prayed, Sacred Heart of Jesus, make my heart
like unto thine. Yeah.
And that can only happen when he wants more and more of us. You know, then we become more and more Christ-like in communion with him. However, that's really the essence of it. You know, and again, I go back to that sense of prayer, too. A part of that is listening,
mm-hmm.
surrender, and humility.
Yeah.
And that prayer, Sacred Heart of Jesus, make my heart like unto thine, can be found right in the Our Father.
Exactly.
It is. It's just retranslated.
Yes.
You're calling him the most sacred heart. You're honoring his name. Mm-hmm. You're asking him for the daily bread. In this case, it's in the holiness, and to be of a holy person, a forgiven person, a merciful person, right there.
Yeah.
So in itself, it has its own transformative power. You know, I often think, and this was one of my discoveries as time went on. Learning more about the Holy Spirit, you know, because I used to hear the word power all the time, and I think it can really be misunderstood.
Yeah.
But much of that power, which comes from God's Spirit, really comes through this kind of transformation that Jesus is offering. I mean, sometimes it can be presented kind of fragmented. No, this is it, because God is not only the king of history, but my Father is also the king of my personal story. So the more he's involved, the more I allow him to be involved with it, the more I allow myself to be involved in him, it just opens up this, it opens up a conduit of power, of God's power through me.
Yeah.
And it's a power that can only come in trust, and it eventually brings us deeper joy. I mean, the more you think about it, you could go on with all this stuff, just on this prayer, and you begin to find a branch here, and it's uprooted here, and it's an ebb and flow here, and it's all just coming out of this one prescription of the Our Father.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's amazing. That's why you could just see it as it comes along. How good he is to offer us this prayer in this form, and to know that everything and anything we need for our daily lives, and more and equally important for our salvation, lies within those few lines of prayer.
You know, you said a little while ago, maybe the first half hour part, you know, it's, I think you used the word, you know, it's give and take, I think is how you phrased it. It's give and take. Or I don't know that was the way you exactly phrase it.
Talking and listening, or
yeah, but it
ebb
is
ebb and flow. Yeah,
yeah, ebb and flow. That's what you said, ebb and flow, and I like the idea of give and take. You know, take more of me, Lord. Take my heart, make it like your heart. Take my soul, change it more perfectly into what you created it to be. So he's taking from me as I surrender. He's taken from you and our listeners as they surrender. And yet he's giving in that he don't leave anything void. Remember, scripture says he leaves nothing void with it. When he takes and removes, always will fill it. And that's why we always have to pray for that. And then he fills that. What he removed of us, he fills us with more of him. Less of us, more in him. That's why I pray that prayer every day, Lord, that I might decrease and you might increase within me. So it is an ebb and flow. And it, to me, it is a give and take. I give you more. I try to surrender more and more to you all the time. Many times I fail. But it isn't for lack of trying. More of you, Lord. More of you, less of me. And I think that's what happens in that Our Father. We really do become more of what he calls us to be. More forgiving, more merciful, more loving, more patient. And in this time in our world today, and especially in our own country, that of Israel as well, even for all the Iranian people, we're at a precipice. We're at a point. There's only, you know, only so much we can do, because everything is God's hand. It's all in his. He alone created the entire world. And he alone knows every single thing that's taken place at every single moment. And do we need to take responsibility as Christians? Of course we do. But can we put that Our Father, that last part of that prescription, the third part of the day, can we put that into action? Can we surrender that to be more merciful? Can we pray mercy on the Ayatollah? Can we pray mercy on all those in our country and other countries? Can we pray mercy and wisdom and knowledge upon them to make right decisions? It's all part of that third part of the third deuce. That's something we have to ask ourselves. Go ahead, Father.
You were mentioning take and receive, and you know, my mind always goes to a song.
It sure does.
It sure does, and it went to St. Ignatius of Loyola's prayer, the Suchipe.
Oh, yes.
Receive, take, but I'm not going to sing it. We all know the song.
Well, sing it.
But I'll say the action.
Sing a word for me or two.
You know the melody. That goes, yeah. Take, Lord, receive all I have and possess. But I pray that prayer every day, so I have the actual words, and it says, take, O Lord, and receive my entire liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I am and all that I possess and that you have given me. I surrender it all to thee, to be disposed of according to your will. Now that's what he gives. That's what he. And then he says, for receiving, give me only your love and your grace. With thee, I will be rich enough, and I will desire nothing more.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, and that is really the essence of it. Again, is a piece of the Our Father being expressed through.
Exactly.
Dating days.
And you know what came to me when you were going to sing that couple words? Another song that's close to my heart. We sing it together in the car sometime, but this is really, this is you. every time I ask you to sing it, you sing it. Isn't he, you know, that's you. And yes, isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? He is. And you realize that in the fullness of prayer in the Our Father.
Totally. And within that wonder and his beauty, the Father also realizes that it's not always easy for us, especially that last part.
Yeah.
But yet he's there by his grace. Give me only your love and grace. Mm-hmm. That he could show us how beautiful it is,
yeah,
not only to be forgiven, but how beautiful and wonderful it is to forgive. Mm. And it's not a feeling, but it's a decision.
That's right.
You know? And you were just speaking about all the crises in the world, and you mentioned a few people that I would imagine some people cringe.
I know.
But every single person ever conceived on this earth is redeemable.
Yes.
Is forgivable.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, just as you were talking about more, he's offering that same more to even the most hardened of hearts. In fact, he's probably longing to give them as much, if not more, simply because they're hard of heart.
Exactly.
How much he loves.
Yeah, look at Divine Mercy prayer now. We do that all the time, Steve and yourself, me. And what does he say in that prayer? From Faustina, bring me the most vile, wretched sinners. That's who he wants, so that he can pierce their hearts and draw them into conversion while there is time. So yeah, that's who he is. Isn't he wonderful?
Prince of Peace.
Oh, isn't he? I don't know why people put up with us, but
I don't know.
But they know we love them.
And the worst part about it is we get such a kick out of ourselves.
Oh, man, that's true. You're right.
You know, keeping in that line of peace and prayer, just want to take a moment out. I'm not sure if people are aware of this. You know, the Feast of the Sacred Heart is the 27th next week,
right.
But the Feast of Our Lady Queen of Peace, Medjugorje, has traditionally been June 25th.
Right.
So there's two novenas going on simultaneously right now. But Virgin asked one of the visionaries by the name of Maria 2 days ago at the beginning of the novena, if the people would make a sacrifice and come up for a special climb up the hill for the next 9 days at 4:30 in the morning, it's being broadcasted live stream at 10:30 p.m. at night now here, at least Eastern Standard Time. And she made the particular request not only for our 44 years of God's merciful kindness of giving more, if you will, of allowing his mother to come, but she also added, would we do it this year as a sacrifice for this peace? And she doesn't name names, but we understand it's for this very fragile time, Middle East, Russia,
yeah,
Ukraine, the whole world right now. And I'm not sure if any of your listeners are aware, but you can log on live. There's a website called Mary TV. So it's marytv.tv. And every night at 10:30, they begin a rosary. 11 o'clock, Our Lady comes. They have extra prayers for peace. There's a small little message. So it's a good hour of our time, even if it's 4:30 in the morning on their side. It's some of us who are early to bedders, it's from 10:30 to 11:30 at night right now, may be a sacrifice for us too. But it's an invitation from heaven that we can make that little bit of a sacrifice at a time when peace really is in crisis again, and how beautiful that both novenas, one to the Immaculate Heart of our Mother and one to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, are kind of flowing together, corresponding together. So I just offer that for anybody if you want to do something beautiful for God, because we have a beautiful Mother and a beautiful God that are offering us these particular graces, really, to help and participate in the world and participate in God's glory and salvation right now.
True. I just want to remind everybody before we go off the air, we all have calendars and dates in them, and there's all events that we have to do and work we have to accomplish and tasks we do. But God is the master planner. And I would ask you to consider if maybe your plans fell through for the weekend. I know Father's going to be at a wedding, a friend of ours. I will be giving that retreat at Malvern. And what a beautiful time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to come together with people. It's the charismatic retreat at Malvern. What a time for people that are walking in the Spirit and full of the Spirit that want to come together and pray, especially this weekend, in the power of the Holy Spirit for Him to intervene in the hearts and minds and spirits of all leaders for His holy will to be done. So again, if you happen to be free and you didn't think you would be, call Malvern. Maybe that's his way of showing you, come, I'm calling you, I'm asking you to come. So I just want to praise and thank God, Father. I can't believe it, but here we are. Would you give us your blessing? And you want to say a moment before you go into it?
Just to close up, I once again saying what an honor it is always to be here. To thank not only our listeners for their goodness, support, but also their love for all priests and these times when we are on the front line. So I will continue to pray for each and every one of you, for all of your intentions, and most especially that God's light and His Spirit will constantly and invigorate your soul and keep you close to His most Sacred Heart. And may the blessings of the Almighty, the merciful God, come upon each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you. I'll talk to
you. God bless now.
Bye-bye. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can't believe we have come to this this time. And I want to encourage everybody to remember that Dr. Anton Raimondo will be joining in now for his program. It's always a beautiful program. He's a dear, close friend of mine, and he's a beautiful evangelist. And I would ask you to listen in and to become part of all my other broadcasters' radio programs as well. So again, Dr. Raimondo, he will be on for the 5 o'clock hour. So I just say to each of you, I love you. I mean it. And please pray for me that when I stand up there this weekend, every time something of God would come forth and it would be His words, not my words. My words aren't going to help anybody, but His word can transform each of our lives. God bless you.